Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, I do know my name. My pronouns are she and her, and it is my pleasure to serve this joyful congregation. It's fun to see everybody dressed so festively this morning, and our church festive and bright for the holidays. This is one of our first Christmas holiday winter celebration services. We have several over the next week. We have a Darkest Night service this Tuesday. If this is a hard season for you and you have sorrow or you just want some silence away from the jangledness of the service, or you don't really like the holidays at all, and it's a good service for you. And next week we're having a multi-generational Hanukkah service that's going to have a Hanukkah story throughout, and it's super really fun. So I really hope everyone will come. And afterwards we're going to play dreidel and eat treats. So I just want to let you know that you are all welcome here. You're welcome whether you're feeling joyful with the holidays or you have sorrow in your heart. You're welcome whether you have many moments of silence and presence in your days, or if your days are just rushed and full and you end up at the end of the day exhausted. Because each and every one of you is welcome here, no matter who you are, because you are a beloved child of the universe. Thank you. So we will begin our service with our chalice lighting. The words are from the Reverend Dr. David Breeden. We light this flame, reminding ourselves to treasure the magic in the mundane, the wonders of carbon dioxide, oxygen, nitrogen, rapid oxidization, into light, heat, and the dance of a flame. We light this chalice, kindling, remembering our innate sense at wonder at the very real magic of our world. Now I'll invite John Bowling up.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is John Bowling. My pronouns are he and his, and it's my honor to be the director of the WOOF Choristers. Every year we get to put on one of these winter services, and it's so much fun for us to plan a whole service full of music. So this year, around the monthly theme of wonder, we've chosen music to hopefully fill that call, and sprinkling in a little bit of tradition, lots of nature, lots of attention to the changing seasons, and a little humor and surprises in there, as well as some deeper time for reflection and gratitude. Our featured piece is our three winter songs by Trent Worthington, and it sets the beautiful poetry of Sarah Teasdale, and I'd like to offer the very first poem from our set, and this is called Winter Blue Jay. Crisply, the bright snow whispered, crunching beneath our feet. Behind us, as we walked along the parkway, our shadows danced, fantastic shapes in vivid blue. Across the lake, skaters flew to and fro with sharp turns weaving, a frail, invisible net. In ecstasy, the earth drank the silver sunlight. In ecstasy, the skaters drank the wine of speed. In ecstasy, we laughed, drinking the wine of love. Had not the music of our joy sounded its highest note? But no, for suddenly with lifted eyes you said, "Oh, look! There on the black bough of a snow-flecked maple, fearless and gay as our love, a blue jay cocked his crest. Oh, who can tell the range of joy or set the bounds of beauty?" All right, and we would like to invite you to rise in body or spirit. We're going to sing our opening hymn. You'll need your gray hymnal. This is number 73, Chant for the Seasons, and we're going to do verse number 2 of this. And choristers, could you come forward as we begin? Thank you. to start now.
During the holiday season, it is our way to become obsessed with light and lighting up the world with candles and bulbs and in our homes. We talk about light as metaphor for hope and the spark of the divine in each of us. Sometimes we forget to praise the steady presence of the plants that do not wither or go dormant during the cold and sunless days. Evergreen trees surround us here in Portland. We bring them into our homes and decorate their branches, or we use them to create wreaths. We breathe in the fragrant scent. Holly grows green with stiff, sharp leaves and bright red berries. Ivy winds across the landscape in piles of shiny, waxy leaves, taking over, grabbing, strangling, indestructible. Holly and ivy have been used as winter decorations for centuries in Europe. In Celtic mythologies, holly was the winter king, who fought each year his twin brother, the oak king, for dominance. He prevailed from the autumn equinox through the spring equinox and was at the height of his power in the winter solstice. Holly was the king and ivy was his queen. Ivy represented immortality and resurrection. In nature, ivy often curls itself within and around holly, and they were associated with love and romance. When the Celts decorated, they often used them together. There was a tradition in some places that whether holly or ivy came into the house first would determine if men, holly, or women, ivy, would dominate the home in the coming year. The colonizers brought ivy to the Pacific Northwest from Europe. They planted it in this foreign soil, and we've learned why it is a symbol of immortality and resurrection. We yank and pull and cut, saving trees and native species here at Wolf and all over from its choking grasp. And after a time, it grows back, creating a cycle of struggle as we yank and pull and cut again. And we give a great shout of appreciation for all who do that work. This is the wonder, that some plants all year round turn the sun's energy into matter, and that people tell stories and create ritual to connect them to the world that we live in. We make meaning, see new, and we revise our stories. Like pulling ivy, it is a cycle, our forever work, understanding our place in this magnificent world. This is one reason we come together each Sunday. We come to remember who we are and where we are and what it means. Let us worship together.
And the running of the day.
Now it's time for all ages. We don't have a lot of room for children to come to the front, so today we will just ask you to stay in your chairs. Today we're going to hear Owl Moon, which is one of my very, very favorite books. And I'm going to see how this works. It was late one winter night, long past my bedtime, when Pa and I went owling. There was no wind. The trees stood still as giant statues, and the moon was so bright the sky seemed to shine. Somewhere behind us, a train whistle blew, long and low, like a sad, sad song. I could hear it through the woolen cap Pa had pulled down over my ears. A farm dog answered the train, and then a second dog joined in. They sang out, trains and dogs, for a real long time. And when their voices faded away, it was quiet as a dream. We walked on towards the woods, Pa and I. Our feet crunched over the crisp snow, and little gray footprints followed us. Pa made a long shadow, but mine was short and round. I had to run after him every now and then to keep up, and my short, round shadow bumped after me. But I never called out. If you go owling, you have to be quiet. That's what Pa always says. I've been waiting to go owling with Pa for a long, long time. We reached the line of pine trees, black and pointy against the sky, and Pa held up his hand. I stopped right where I was and waited. He looked up as if searching the stars, as if reading a map up there. The moon made his face into a silver mask. Then he called, "Hoo, hoo, 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 hoo," the sound of the great horned owl. Hoo, 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 hoo. And he called again and then again, and after each call he was silent. And for a moment we both listened. But there was no answer. Pa shrugged and I shrugged. I was not disappointed. My brothers said sometimes there's an owl and sometimes there isn't. We walked on. I could feel the cold as if someone's icy hand was palmed down on my back, and my nose and the tops of my cheeks felt cold and hot at the same time. But I never said a word. If you go owling, you have to be quiet and make your own heat. We went into the woods. The shadows were the blackest things I'd ever seen. They stained the white snow. My mouth felt furry, for the scarf over it was wet and warm. I didn't ask what kinds of things hide behind black trees in the middle of the night. When you go owling, you have to be brave. Then we came to a clearing in the dark woods. The moon was high above us. It seemed to fit exactly over the center of the clearing, and the snow below it was whiter than the milk in a cereal bowl. I sighed, and Pa held up his hand at the sound. I put my mittens over the scarf over my mouth, and I listened hard. And then Pa called, "Hoo, hoo, 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 hoo." I listened and looked so hard my ears hurt, and my eyes got cloudy with the cold. Pa raised his face to call out again, but before he could open his mouth, an echo came threading its way through the trees. Hoo, 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 hoo. Pa almost smiled. Then he called back, "Hoo, hoo, 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 hoo." Just as if he and the owl were talking about supper, or about the woods, or the moon, or the cold, I took my mitten off the scarf of my mouth. I almost smiled, too. The owl's call came closer from high up in the trees on the edge of the meadow. Nothing in the meadow moved. All of a sudden, an owl's shadow, part of the big tree shadow, lifted off and flew right over us. We watched silently, with the heat in our mouths and the heat of all those words we had not spoken. The shadow hooted again. Pa turned on his big flashlight and caught the owl just as it was landing on a branch. For 1 minute, 3 minutes, maybe even 100 minutes, we stared at one another. Then the owl pumped its great wings and lifted off the branch like a shadow without a sound. It flew back into the forest. "Time to go home," Pa said to me. I knew then I could talk. I could even laugh out loud. But I was a shadow as we walked home. When you go owling, you don't need words or warm or anything but hope. That's what Pa says. The kind of hope that flies on silent wings under a shining owl moon. We will now sing our children to their classes.
I'm Brad Hewitt. My pronouns are he and him, and I am delighted to be with you this morning. This reading is an excerpt from Music Arises by Arlen Goff. Breath with breath, beat with beat, and music and spirit arise together. Wed with faith and hope and love and power, a song is born, bursting from lips in sweet, sonorous symphony. As we experience the musical gifts our choristers share with us today, I'd like to also say thank you. Thank you for your generous gifts of presence, whether it's online or in person today, as we take our offering. Your gifts, known and unknown, are what help make this congregation a family. If one of those gifts is monetary support, those of you who are here in person may contribute to a basket as it's passed. And if you're watching from home, you'll see instructions on the screen for how you can donate. Just a note that we'll enjoy a longer period of music today from Ben. So, enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. And I should have said that was "O Christmas Tree" arranged by Trent Hanna and "Pretty Paper" by Willie Nelson, which was a fun one. It's our first Willie song we've had in a while. It's awesome. Thank you. If you please join me in our gratitude or of giving.
Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
Reverence is grounded in gratitude. When we are grateful, we remember how utterly dependent we are on the rest of existence. Let us notice now what we are grateful for in our own lives. Maybe think of something you've never thought of before to be grateful for, like the dyes in your clothes. We have so many beautiful red clothes here today. Perhaps the glass in the windows, or breathing, or good work to do. So take a moment and consider what you're grateful to. You can call them out, or tell them to a neighbor, or put them in the chat, or text someone, or just tell it to yourself. So there is so much happiness in this world. Goodness, love, and beauty grow within and all around us. Together we create a circle of celebration deep enough to hold all the joy in our lives. There is so much pain in this world. Each of us knows loss and suffering. Together here we create a circle of compassion wide enough to hold all of the sorrows in our lives. When the music begins, please come forward if you feel moved to do so and place a stone in the bowl of water. The water is the community of compassion that bears all sorrows. The water is the community of celebration that shares all joys. I offer this prayer by Lucinda Duncan. God of life and beauty, we pray for the quietness of snowflakes, knowing that love is quiet. We pray for the kindness of small acts, knowing gentleness is fragile. We are grateful to know that thoughtfulness makes no sound, that compassion leaves wonderfully beautiful traces when we open ourselves to wonder. May ours be a religion which, like the snowflake, goes everywhere in quietness, in love, and with gentle regard for that which is true and beautiful in and about us. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence for meditation, prayer, or reflection, as is your tradition.
Thank you.
This is For Presence by John O'Donohue. Awaken to the mystery of being here and enter the quiet immensity of your own presence. Have joy and peace in the temple of your senses. Receive encouragement when new frontiers beckon. Respond to the call of your gift and the courage to follow its path. Let the flame of anger free you of all falsity. May warmth of heart keep your presence aflame. May anxiety never linger about you. May your outer dignity mirror an inner dignity of soul. Take time to celebrate the quiet miracles that seek no attention. Be consoled in the secret symmetry of your soul. May you experience each day as a sacred gift woven around the heart of wonder.
Oh,
I love winter, and those songs were so evocative. I'm so thankful. Thank you. I really love the crisp, cold, snowy winter, particularly. These were the winters of my childhood in Spokane, Washington, where the snow came early in December and stayed until March. I like the coldness on my cheeks and the invigoration of icy air. I love to ski and sled and get warm in my winter clothes while the tip of my nose gets numb with cold. I was in Spokane for Thanksgiving this year, and snow graced the yards on the trees. Walking was glorious. It was much colder than it had been in here in Portland, where it was in the 40s and windy. You might remember that weather. But it felt so much warmer there. Somehow that crisp, dry cold settles on your skin while Portland cold settles in your bones. Most of my adulthood, snow hasn't lasted long in Spokane. It is a few-day phenomena, and then the mercury rises in the thermometer to the mid-30s. Rain comes like some unwelcome guest from Seattle. And while I love winter, I feel real misery when there is rain at 36 degrees, especially if it's raining on snow and freezing at night. And this has been climate change's gift to Spokane. So at Thanksgiving, I enjoyed those fleeting days of precious snowy winter, letting my feet crunch on that crisp snow and my eyes feast on the beauty of that sugary white frosting everything, and letting the miracle of it all just settle in me. Because all we ever have is beauty and love in this particular moment. Owl Moon is one of my favorite books. I fell in love with it well before I had children. I have no idea how it came into my life, but I was so enamored that when I was like 22 years old, I read it aloud to the college freshman English class I was teaching as their end of semester gift. And I don't think they took it as a gift. I think they took it as a confirmation that I was utterly weird. But I have continued to love it. The language and the rhythm and the pictures are all so beautiful. But what I love the most is the sense of silence and presence. Everything is absolutely still. No wind. Only the girl and her father moving as quietly as they can, listening in the cold night. To be silent, still, and present, with time and energy throbbing with depth and meaning, even as a young person, I yearned for these moments. I was unchurched and unschooled in spirituality or religious practice. I had no language to talk about the feeling I got in moments such as those described in the book. Today, I would say that such moments feed my being. But what to call those moments is still unclear. We don't have good language for such experience as humans. I mean, I like the word holy myself. You use call it transcending mystery and wonder, which I also love. Some call it God. For others, just stillness and silence are good enough words. But none of these words or phrases really express the depth of feeling and wonder in those moments and how they can ground us and hold us and open our hearts. The poet Susie Tisdale wrote the lyrics of the songs that the choristers just sang, and often it is the poet or the musician who offers us glimpses into transcending mystery and wonder. Tisdale's words, set to music and so beautifully sang for us, can call us into such a presence. She notices the world and the ecstasy of it all, asking who can tell the range of joy or set the bounds of beauty. The cold of night, in the second piece, opens her heart to the suffering of others, creating an empathetic presence, a presence of love and of care. In the third piece, the snow releases her imagination, and she flows into the presence of delight. The cold dark of the winter months seem to have a quality that can open us to that still, silent presence. Maybe the cold and dark tend to still us, calling us toward reflection. But the call is not always enough to experience such things. We have to allow that call to open us. We have to attend in ways that allow us to hear and respond to that call. And sometimes structure helps. The girl in Owl Moon is becoming part of a tradition in her family, one where the rules of owling require her to be silent and attend the shadows and her own heat. In that, she discovers her own capacity to endure, to experience, and hope. Sally Tisdale's structure is writing poetry. She notices moments and creates the essence of them in words. And I suspect the practice enriched her life, making her more aware of holy moments when they happened. We can make it more possible to experience the transcending mystery and wonder present in all of life by offering ourselves structures and practices. We can slow down and pay attention instead of running all those mind tapes that run incessantly. Our minds just love to talk and mesmerize us with whatever. I've learned over years of meditation that my mind is really set on making plans for things. Or there's another track which reprimands me for not being perfect. No, those are not the most inspiring ways to live a life. Mindfulness and meditation are practices widely used to help people claim space from our chattering minds and allow us to be present and pay attention. But there's so many other practices that can help. Practicing gratitude, creating art, singing music, making music, listening, gardening, skiing. There's so many ways to focus our attention on what is and what is beautiful and wondrous. When we are rapt, we become open to the holy, and it is more likely to wash through us, connecting us to who knows what, bringing us alive and filling us with the capacity to love this life. The holidays, this season, at its very best, reminds us to pay attention to what is good in other human beings and on this earth that we share. They remind us that love is on the way, that love is here. So we're going to end our service slightly different than usually. So we're going to stay seated, and the choir is going to sing Carol of the Bells for our final piece. But I'll do our benediction now. May ours be a religion like the snowflake that goes everywhere in quietness, in love, and with gentle regard for that which is true and beautiful in us and about us. Let us, as we extinguish the chalice, let us not extinguish its warmth or inspiration for our faith, nor our commitment to its principles. These we will carry in our hearts until we meet again.